Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, a very pleasant good afternoon to you. We're running just a little bit late because you know, I was just having a bad hair day and I didn't want to go on. You know, it's just like, I'm not going on. I got a bad hair day and I'm just not going to do it. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. We're going to have fun today for a little while. We're going to talk to a couple of gentlemen. I think I met both of them long ago. I'll find out. Mike Singer and Brian Root, and they're patriots and they're troublemakers. And, you know, what can I tell you? They just get around and they're into all kinds of cool things, like getting the truth out about all things geopolitical. And their website is thebigvirushoax.com. Gentlemen, welcome. How are you? How are things?
Hey, Patrick.
Good. How are you seeing?
In the middle there. I'm sorry?
I'm the one that saw you before I came by your place.
You're the one that we met years ago in Dripping Springs. Is that right, Brian?
That's right. Yep.
Man, I tell you what. Brian Root is in the middle there. What's that?
Your hair was good back then. Your hair was good back then.
I know. I just don't have a good hair day now, so that's why, you know, just. And then Mike Singer is on the right there. Mike, thebigvirushoax.com. I like your shirt. Mike is in Miami, and Brian is in somewhere in Florida, right?
South Florida, yes.
Yeah.
Well, at least you guys are going to be
the
in.
One that usually,
go ahead.
I'm the one that usually has a bad hair day. That's why I'm wearing the Texas hat.
I understand. At least you guys are going to be in part of the new United States when we have one. You think we're going to have one in Texas and Florida is going to be the base? I mean, people are talking about that.
Like Brian, seceding away, from, man. Yeah, I don't know. I've heard talk of it, but I don't know. Florida's pretty nice right now. It's getting better and better thanks to Mike and the Big Virus Hoax. We can kind of go around without being harassed as much.
Yeah, I tell you.
You know, there's a lot of people are saying a lot of good things about our great governor, Ron DeSantis. And, you know, I'm definitely a Ron DeSantis fan still, hopefully, and it will remain that way. But one of the things I've been doing is urge through multiple, and get to send hard mail. I plan on sending hard mail, urging Governor Ron DeSantis to sign an executive order, essentially as the governor, you know, stating, if you're a business in the state of Florida that has been designated, classified, and defined by the federal government as a place of public accommodation, you shall not discriminate against the public. You know, meaning if somebody goes in without a face mask, because of the fact that it may be for religious reasons, because of the fact that it may be for health reasons, that may be mental, psycho-emotional, physical, or genetic, I hereby order that you do not discriminate against a person because we don't know why they're not wearing a mask. So in the spirit of upholding federal civil rights, I'm making this order. And I'm further instructing all law enforcement agencies in the state of Florida to uphold this executive order and those federal civil rights. So that's the big thing I've been pushing. And gradually people are coming on board with that. I've got quite a few fellow Floridian patriots in Central Florida who have come to be familiar with my, mm-hmm. you know, desire to get the governor to sign that order.
Yeah.
And I think that would be huge because I've said everything the governor has signed so far is meaningless because if he signs an executive order saying there's no more COVID restrictions in Florida, but then you walk in to get a cup of coffee and they refuse to serve you because you're not wearing a face diaper.
Right.
That's a problem. And it demonstrates that his orders are meaningless.
Mike, I hear what you're saying and I really applaud you for your effort in that, but as a libertarian and a constitutionalist, everything I've ever heard, Michael, from attorneys and constitutional people, that if you have a private business, that you can damn well do what you want, and if you don't have shoes on or shirt on, you know, you can't really force somebody to serve you. You know, they can make up the rules.
That's
you know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry, that's just, I do know what you're saying, and I appreciate it, but it's not true.
It's not true.
And it's not right, and it's not fair. No, because essentially what the federal civil rights do is they say that a person cannot be discriminated against. They can't be treated disparately. They can't be treated differently based upon five criteria: their age, their race, their gender, their religious beliefs and practices, and their disability or health condition, which may be mental, psycho-emotional, physical, or genetic. So in other words, a business cannot tell a person, you're black, go outside. They cannot tell somebody, you're an old man, go outside and we'll bring you your goods.
I got you.
So to the extent that there are five criteria that they cannot discriminate against, that needs to be upheld.
I understand. So you're arguing, and it's a good argument, that if the mask thing is a religious, because the you don't believe in a virus, because you don't believe anything can hurt you, because you believe in God, whatever, or
that's protected.
Right, that's protected. Or you have a condition, which is your condition is you want to breathe.
That's protected.
I think you're onto something there. Yeah, you think you could.
Yeah.
You think you could argue it well with the DeSantis people to get something like that happening?
You know, I hope so. I wrote the executive order for him. It's a short paragraph. It came to mind several months back, last year, actually, in the middle of the summer is when I first sent it to him. I've sent, you know, dozens of emails for him to do it. And again, I have faltered in not sending hard mail. But what I plan on doing in the next few days is printing out all the emails that I did send him, putting them as a packet, and then putting a cover letter saying, look, I've been sending you these emails for months. You need to sign this executive order. And I'm going to send that off hard mail as a packet.
Attaboy.
So I believe that it's essential. He has to sign that order because, again, it's meaningless. It's meaningless to say, you know, I'm lifting all COVID restrictions, but yet you can't go into a place of public accommodation.
Yes, sir.
And be treated equally.
Yes, sir.
In accordance with federal law.
We interviewed.
Let me just add.
Go ahead.
If I could just add quickly.
Sure, go ahead.
On thebigvirushoax.com, our website, on the link that says federal civil rights, so all a person has to do is go. It's right there on the top of the page on the navigation, federal civil rights. If you click on it, it'll bring you to a page that has a couple videos on the top, but underneath that is the little proposed executive order that I've been sending him.
I know, Michael and Brian, for the last year and a half, I didn't wear a mask because every place I went, I simply said, I have a condition. That's all I said, because I can't ask you what the condition is, right? That's a violation.
Right.
And most of the big companies probably had enough attorneys so they knew to just let me through, right? Costco, HEB here, 600 stores. They just knew that you didn't want to mess with you.
That's right.
But then all of a sudden, 3 or 4 months ago, Costco said, no, you had to do the thing, you know? I wonder, so if I would have wanted to go in there, I would have had to push it and take them to court or something though, right? I mean, how do you deal with that as a private individual?
Yeah, there are people doing that. I don't know if you're listening to Peggy Hall.
She's
really big.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's great, and she does videos every day, but she actually gets out there and goes to the courthouses and talks in front of the boards and all that stuff to change the laws. And she's big on, there's another one called, she calls it Snakes. I can't think of the name of the grocery store, but yeah, she's pushed back against them. And there are people, she's working it. And there are lawsuits against Costco and other stores that I guess are take time to get through the courts.
Yeah. Yeah. We,
can I comment on that? Just
yes, sir. Anytime you want, just jump in. Don't worry. Just jump in.
Yeah, no, I want to say, maybe this is premature, you know, because this is like the grand finale statement, you know. I mean, Brian and I really kind of developed what I would call a system, a scientific system on how to approach it. Obviously, if we go back to the beginning of this, you know, plandemic, scamdemic, fake, you know, put on hoax that they've put on people.
Yes, sir.
Nobody knew what to do. We were all confused. Everybody was like, what's going on? It was in the midst of last summer that Brian and I were brainstorming on things. And, you know, we were just knowing that, you know, people's rights are being violated. Our rights are being violated. What are we going to do? We went down to a restaurant in Homestead, Florida. My dad and my son were in there eating, and we went in to join them, and they refused to let us in. So Brian and I called the police. in Florida City. And when the police came, you know, frankly, they asked us, you know, okay, we hear what you're saying. What law? What law? Because even the police officers, they don't know the law. So that caused Brian and I to go home for all weekend, man. We were digging into the books.
Wow.
We were searching the internet, going to law, you know, law books, law libraries, law websites, looking into, you know, what is this? You know, what? I mean, we hear about our civil rights and federal civil rights. And we didn't even know what the law was. We had just heard about it because, you know, again, Peggy Hall was the one that first kind of started getting this little flyer going around. She interviewed somebody and it was an ADA flyer, but it didn't even have the law on it. It was just, you know, a statement. I have a disability and I don't have to disclose what it is, and you could be fined $75,000. So police officers on one place Brian and I went to, we presented that, and the police officer says, oh, you got that offline. That's invalid. And we said, no, it's just to let you know. And he says, well, what law? The police officers don't know the law. So Brian and I looked it up, and it turns out it's very clear. Americans with Disabilities Act, Title III, Section 136. We read the entire law. I mean, I highlighted things throughout the law, and it's so applicable. That law is made to protect your person. And here's the thing. We have God-given inalienable rights, first and foremost. That's what we have.
Yes, sir.
We hear about the United States Constitution, Federal Civil Rights, the Bill of Rights. Those things are actually were put in place to protect our God-given inalienable rights.
Yes.
So a lot of times the Constitution of the United States, people love to refer to it, you know, hey, you know, I'm American, United States Constitution. But what really is big is the federal civil rights, because it's very specific. You know, going back to the point I made earlier, you can't tell somebody they can't come into a place. The fact that the government has classified, defined, and designated businesses that cater to the public at large as places of public accommodation, and there's what's called a federal non-discrimination mandate. When you read that mandate, I mean, it is strong. It is clear. You cannot discriminate for any reason against somebody, especially if it's based upon one of those five criteria. And like you said, you're not required under law to disclose what your condition is. They have to just take it at face value. So to be able to, you know, let people know that, you know, 42 USC, United States Code 42, Americans with Disabilities Act Title III, really does cover. And I think that the idea of it being a disability and or a health condition, both of those words are applicable. And the fact that it covers mental, psycho-emotional, physical, genetic. I love the psycho-emotional. For the last 2 years, we've been hearing so much about, you know, these liberal progressive, you know, extreme liberal progressive, you know, universities where in the schools they have their safe space because you hurt my feelings. Well, they can make that claim under law. They're actually protected by law. You can't mess with people's emotionality and their psychology. You can't do it. It's a violation of your God-given inalienable rights, which are protected by federal civil rights. So it needs to be upheld. It needs to be upheld by all of the governors of every state. And that's why I'm trying to push Ron DeSantis to make that stand, because he'll be a shining beacon under the rest of the governors if and when he does.
Maybe the other ones will pick up on it. I like what you said. Let's go back a bit. I think it's important for people. I had a constitutional attorney one time tell me, and I've always remembered it, that the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, the Bill of Rights, that doesn't give you your rights. God gives us our rights, and they're only memorialized, which is the word he used, they're memorialized in the Constitution, right? They're just written down. But these are God-given rights,
right,
to have a gun or, I don't know, to just do what you want as long as
that's
you don't
right.
mess with anybody, right? They're God-given
exactly.
rights. I get goosebumps when I say that, man. That's where the action is, right?
That is where the action is. Which I'll just add one more point to that. That's why I'm constantly saying people just need to find the fortitude, man.
Yeah.
You know, stand up for your dignity, for your rights, your God-given rights, for your dignity. Make a stand. Stop being cowards. Stop being afraid. Stop thinking that the government, and here's another thing, government mandates only apply to the government. They do not apply to the public. So when people hear government mandate, oh, I'm mandated. No, you're not. You're not.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that the government's here and the people are here. We don't have a monarchy. They're not kings and queens that rule over us. No, it's the people. The government serves us. And the government is becoming very corrupt, obviously. It's turning communist. Now, there's a whole avenue we can go down on this conversation. I'll hold off right now because I can start going down some avenues.
That's all right. Well, you're right. And as you know, because you study this stuff, the government only has jurisdiction in the 10 square miles of Washington, D.C. That's it. I live in Texas. I don't live in the United States. That's all. It's all made up, man. And they just keep going and they keep going until they, you know, until we give, you know, until we say no, no. So, you know, that's really, I mean, God love you guys. I really appreciate the way you're presenting this because, I mean, HEB said you don't have to wear a mask, a 600-store chain in Texas, right, a month ago. You don't have to wear a mask. To this day, you can walk into HEB 15 minutes from here, and 85, 90% of the people are still wearing a mask, you know? And I feel bad, you know? I almost cry sometimes. I watch these people walking around with these masks on, and you know they're not asking why or do I have to. You know, I'm crying. You know, I'm thinking, what's going on with, I don't know. It's
the little kids in masks. I got the little 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds with masks on.
I know.
Walking to the store. And
it's just a shame.
You can see the sign right when you go in. It says masks are no longer required. They're recommended or whatever.
It's amazing.
People just don't want to see.
So you guys are just doing what you can, right, to help people wake up and smell the coffee.
All you can do is all you can do. Right. That's a little saying Brian gave me.
So all you can do is all you can do. I know I'm the same way with you guys. I just wake up here, you know, and, you know, do it and see what happens, you know, because I don't, I can't wave a magic wand. Boy, I tell you what.
Well, let me throw this in for fun. This is just me. I hate and despise lies, deception, corruption, and evil. And I love truth, man. I love the truth. And I love righteousness. I love what's right, right? So that's me. And I'm hyper-rational, right? And yeah, I'm experienced. I've had a lot of experiences in life that helped to shape me to be who I am today. So maybe I have a few edges, you know, over a lot of people in terms of being able to have the grit and the tenacity and to go for it. But I'm not just standing up for my dignity and my rights. I'm standing up for yours. I'm standing up for everybody's dignity and rights. And I'm encouraging other people to start doing the same, to find it in them, right? To muster up their own strength and fortitude, right? Mm-hmm. And bravery, mm-hmm. Right? You know, I just have to say, this is a predominantly, you know, Christian nation, Judeo-Christian ethics and background that this country's based upon. And it's, to me, very sad and unfortunate that there are so many self-professed Christians in the world that don't seem to have the true faith and belief that their God is going to protect them, not only from some imaginary, made-up, fictitious virus concept, but for taking a stand for what is right, right? Again, for making that bold and mighty stand, you know? Where's their God, right? Where are they with God Almighty? You know, I think the God factor, you know, is an important one. You know, it plays into society. It plays into the psycho-emotionality of people. And people need to, you know, not just think that they've got God on their side because they're sitting in a church pew and they're listening to some preacher on the stage, so they've got their little comfort zone. No, man, they need to start making a stand. On that note, please let me read that email again that I read to you before we went on.
Yeah, go ahead. Read.
All right. You guys can still see me. You can still see me now, right?
Oh, yeah, we can see you. We can even see you more.
Yeah, because I'm clicking on into my folder here at. So I get waiting for my little, since it's another tab, let me just wait for that to open up real quick.
We're with Mike Singer and Brian Root. It is the bigvirushoax.com, their website. Got all kinds of fun things. They have some really wonderful videos there that they post. A lot of the ones that we stream here. I love the one of the lady that you put up, and we were streaming it, Mike and Brian, for about a week of the the lady where they were interpreting her from some, you know, and she was doing the whole Stefan Lanka piece. Yeah, it's great. Great video. That's kind of
a great video. That's the video that brought my dad over the edge. You know, my dad, a lot of people are critical minded. They're not sure. Their whole life they've heard about, they think viruses exist, right?
Right.
So they want proof that viruses don't exist. So that Stefan Lanka video is the one that brought my dad to home base. You know, he says, wow, that video nails it. That puts it. And of course, that's the video that's on the top of our homepage.
Yeah. There's just no brother.
The email here.
There's just no there there.
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead and read that
email. So here's the email, because this is how it all ties in. I just sent this email out this morning to my mailing list. I woke up with these thoughts on my mind this morning. Whether you view the devil as literal or figurative, a group of fallen angels led by Lucifer, Satan, and Beelzebub, or just a group of Luciferian madmen who are hell-bent on controlling the entire world through their mega corporations and tech companies. The goal of the evildoers is clear: global communism. And for you flat earthers out there, whether you believe in a globe or not, that's not the point. That's what they call it. Global communism. That's another conversation we can have, by the way. Global communism, a liberal, progressive, LGBT, A to Z, anti-God, anti-Christ, New World Order, One World Government. It is their desire and intention to break down nations, break down races, break down genders, transform humans into a homogenous mob of godless, self-destructive freaks, destroy what God made. They must be called out and stopped. As conservatives, Christians, patriots, and truthers, we must fight back against them. Otherwise, we will be delivering our children, grandchildren, and eternal offspring into a future of pure evil and oppression. If you are waiting for Jesus Christ to come back, just know Jesus Christ is waiting upon you to take action.
Whoa. You know, that's powerful. And I appreciate what you're saying about this separation idea of so many Christians. They think they're separate from God, right? And Stefan Lanka, you know, he did a beautiful thing that something really clicked for me. Did you see the video where it was about an hour and a half of he and about three other guys? He was in a big white background with a white,
Tom Cowan?
No, not with Cowan. It was with two other fellows. But anyway, but what he said was really hit home, and this is something that I knew, guys, but he said, and I heard it the other day, was he said there's only one God. It's all God. So to think that there's a part of your body that's just going to attack you just because, it just ain't going to happen. You know, it just is not going to happen. And the only way even a lab-made thing can hurt you is they have to inject you. You know, they could spray stuff out of an airplane, some Wuhan, and it's not. Cowan and Kaufman says, no way, you're not going to breathe that in. It's just not going to happen. You know,
so right. good point. I like the point you made that only by injecting it in you, which means you're accepting it, you're receiving it.
Yes, sir.
So,
that's right.
So that's a big part of it. People are accepting this
right.
oppression,
right.
They're accepting the face diaper. They're accepting the vaccination, and many of them now are suffering for it. Obviously, people are dying.
It's a shame. Mike Singer and Brian Root are here. Can I do a little commercial, guys, and sell something, and then we'll be right back?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if your mic's going to be off when I'm not on, but smoke them if you got them. Hold on. This conversation goes back 7 years. With Dr. Patrick Flanagan. Listen.
And then I discovered that Hunza water also contained negative ionized hydrogen, which is a source of biological electrons. When we're young, we have enzymes in our body called dehydrogenase, and the purpose of dehydrogenase is to lift off hydrogen ions from foods we eat, and their purpose is to create NADH, which is a chemical that acts as a shuttle in the mitochondria for producing all the energy in our body, adenosine triphosphate. And when people take this, it causes DNA repair. It heals the body from all kinds of oxygen-free radicals. It also helps the body recover from damage from radiation.
Well, we certainly want some of this stuff, right? Check out our AquaCure machine. AquaCure machine on OneRadioNetwork.com. Lifetime warranty. And along with a lifetime warranty, a one-year, no-questions-asked, money-back guarantee. If you don't like your results, breathe the gas, bubble the water, listen to what Dr. Flanagan has to say about this and others. The AquaCure machine on OneRadioNetwork.com. Use promo code OneRadio, 10% discount. Thanks, Patrick. As you know, our message around here is that we are soul, we are free, we're changing our body all the time, all this 5G and all that stuff, that we're figuring out a way how to protect ourselves. And we don't need any of this stuff. We don't have to pay money to anybody to buy stuff, that we're learning how to protect ourselves and to stay young and to not age and to not eat anything except maybe water and God and sun or who knows. But in the meantime, as we're learning the drill, this kind of technology is pretty exciting. So this will help you to feel better while you're learning. And we all come into our power. And so we breathe the hydrogen gas, and I love it. I do it every day, and it's very powerful, very powerful. So check it out if you have the bucks, and it's a great investment. Lifetime warranty on OneRadioNetwork.com. Use promo code OneRadio. You ever see how an elk or deer can grow these antlers? Check this out. Have you ever wondered why elk velvet antler could be good for you?
So every year they shed it. And then in the spring, they begin growing a new rack, a new set of antlers. 3 months. They grow it in three months. Think about the biggest moose rack you've ever seen, the biggest elk rack or deer rack you've ever seen. That's 3 months of growth.
It's amazing.
Now, so what you have is this organ that starts off as nothing and grows within 3 months to be an organ that's covered in skin, hair, veins, arteries, nerves. It's totally innervated. It's got bone and osseous tissue and bone marrow. It's essentially a limb. It requires special molecules like growth factors to accelerate the growth of it. And so there's growth factors in there that grow all the types of tissue that are found on it. Bone marrow, nerves, skin, blood. All of that is being grown by these growth factors. And you can put that into your own blood and help yourself regenerate tissue.
Well, that's why we use it around here. You can click and order Elk Velvet Antler from Daniel Vitalis Sir Thrival, any Sir Thrival link right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. And these little elkies, they don't kill them or drug them or put a tourniquet, or they're farm-raised in New Zealand, so they take good care of them for you PETA folks.
We are listener-supported, One Radio Network.
Well, we're having fun talking with a couple of rascals, Mike Singer and Brian Root, in the great state of Florida. You know, we had an attorney on. He's been on about three different times. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. His name is Thomas Renz. He's out of Ohio. He's got several lawsuits going against the passports and all that stuff. And he said something really interesting. The day we interviewed him about 2 months ago, the government, the one we love, they came out and said, well, we're not going to do any vaccine passports, mandates, no way. We're just not going to do it. And I was pretty thrilled about that. And then I mentioned that on the show, and he said, you watch these guys. They've got a method to their madness. What it's going to be is private companies, like you were saying. These are the people, the United Airlines of the world or whatever. They're going to say, well, you got to have a vax. And he said, this is what we're going to go after. So this attorney is thinking like you guys are. This is what we got to go after, that the private businesses they can't get away with forcing you to get vaccinated to fly on an airplane or something. This stuff may go to the Supreme Court, Michael or Brian, what do you think?
Go ahead, Brian, because I can just roll on that one. Go ahead.
Mike knows this, but Ron DeSantis, actually, what did he have, Mike? Some kind of a mandate or something that they're not going to have vaccine passports, but the companies themselves can each individually,
which is what they're doing.
Right. That goes right back to the whole masking issue. That's why I said his executive orders are meaningless unless he makes the declaration, the executive order, as the governor of Florida. I would do it. They should like me to be the governor of Florida. Come on, Floridians, get me in there, because I will sign the order saying that if you're a place of public accommodation, if you're dealing with the public, that means you're an airline, you're a bus terminal, you're any public accommodation, you cannot discriminate. That's the law.
Well, so the discrimination thing is going to be, you think this is where we really have the juice that's going to get us through this, the discrimination.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. Because, again, it's what is discrimination? It means you're being treated differently. You're being treated disparately. You're not being treated equal to everybody else. That's the purpose of the law, right? Equality. And another problem with it is, I see it all the time, and not just in Miami and throughout Florida. I told the governor, I've done many videos on this. I mean, on our website, I've got 5 or 6 videos on our face mask dangers and law page, which is right next to the link that says federal civil rights, and where I'm just having conversation, man, either to my own phone, talking to the sheriffs and sending out the video to them or to the governor. You can't have it where I can walk across the street into this coffee shop with my wife and they say, you can't come in here, you don't have a face diaper on. But then I can walk across the street to the other coffee shop and they say, hey, how you doing today? What do you want?
Right.
You can't have that inconsistency. That's the purpose of the law, that you're treated equally across the board in all places of public accommodation.
Yeah. I wonder how these people have been able to get away with because you can always homeschool, but mandating that the kids get vaxxed out in California and they've taken away the religious exemption and trying to arrest doctors who are giving exemptions. How are they getting away with that? The people are just not pushing it?
The people are submitting to it.
They're just submitting to it.
Wow. It's the people.
Wow.
And then, Brian and I were saying yesterday, they make it hard for the rest of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
The lame brains make it hard for the rest of us.
Yeah, people just, they're almost like kids in adult bodies, the adults anyway. And that's why I'm thinking maybe they're wearing their face diaper because they feel comfortable in a diaper, just because they're still like kids. They're not acting like adults, and they're just accepting everything that's told to them.
Do you guys see it opening up there? More people are getting awake in Florida? What kind of movement do you see in there?
I do.
Yeah, in Miami, I'm seeing more and more people without the face diapers on. Brian, up in Central Florida,
Doodle. It's
kind of been about the same, hasn't it, up there?
I think it's better up here in north, like Orlando area, and middle of Florida is a lot better. It doesn't seem like people are even worried about it, but still, 98% of people are still wearing masks. Even though they don't have to, but the stores don't, harass you about it now.
Wow.
And there's the conditioning factor, man. I mean, do you know they say it takes 2 weeks to develop a habit or break a habit? About 2 weeks?
I've heard that, yeah.
So can you imagine after a year and a half of that's your routine and they make it fashionable? Oh, it matches my dress. It matches my pants. Oh, look at the cute face on it. Look, the glitter and the gold. They're turning it into some fashion statement, which they did just to make it's sickening.
I know.
It's sickening. They've literally infected people's minds.
There's a place where I get organic t-shirts and underwear and stuff. And I was on there the other day and they have a whole thing where they're selling organic face masks. Man, I wrote them a letter. I did. I wrote him an email and I said, you guys are crazy. I'm not buying anything more from you if you're supporting some stupid face mask just because it's organic. I'm just not going to support these
guys.
That's
the other thing.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's probably going to have to be.
Well.
Go ahead, Mike. No, I'm just saying that that's what we have to do, is not support people that are bowing down to this tyranny.
Doing,
I mean,
it's stuff.
It'll never change. It'll never change if we don't.
Yeah, so, and it'll be that we're going to have to, you know, it would be like a process, right, to gradually start only giving our support to businesses, right, that are above and beyond that, right?
Yes, sir.
Not no longer giving support to the businesses that condone that foolishness.
Yeah.
I think actually Peggy Hall pushes a website. I think it's the Freedom People, maybe something like that, where they're actually putting together, you know, pages where you can go and look in different cities and see who is pushing back against the tyranny,
cool.
and you can support businesses.
That's
so
great.
I think it's the freedompeople.com, something like that.
We had Alfie Oaks on some time ago. You know Alfie. He's great.
I was just thinking about Alfie Oaks.
I mean, were there other businesses in Florida that kind of got the mojo from him and opened up?
He might have inspired a few. I'm sure he did. But to the most part, wow,
Whole Foods they're face mask Nazis. I won't go in there, man. They're crazy.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
They're crazy. I'm not going in there.
They were giving us a hard time last year, and then they let up. I was going in without it, and they weren't saying anything. And then all of a sudden, they had a sign on the door. Oh, it's the new, you know, city mandate. I said, no, I need to go back there with some friends and do some more videos, going in to get a few goods just to make some videos.
By the way, Mike has on the web, on the bigvirushoax.com, he's got, I don't know, hundreds. He's got a whole lot of videos where he goes out to like the Guitar Center or the post office and videotapes himself. And it's amazing. He just puts all the information out there, and they just don't understand it. And they just say, you know, it's a private business. We can do whatever we want. And that's what most of them all say. But Mike explains it to them.
Oh, man.
Well,
thank you, Brian. Thank you for bringing that up. I just have to say this. I just got notice. Oh, man. I'm glad we're all seated for this. Speaking of the Guitar Center issue, right? Mm-hmm. One of the things they do, which Brian knows well, is they illegally trespass you, right?
Trespass you?
Like, where do they get off? Where do they get off on thinking that they can trespass you, right? For not wearing a face mask, and you're going to be arrested. That's what happened to Brian. We'll let Brian talk about that in a minute. Let me just make this point first.
Mm-hmm.
When I was doing the Guitar Center deal and called for the police and was outside speaking with them, and they came out saying that the manager wants you trespassed, I asked them, can you explain to me where in the law that a person can be trespassed willy-nilly just because somebody wants to trespass? Where is that upheld in the law that because I'm going into shop somewhere and my rights are being violated because they're trying to force me to wear a medical device that I don't wear for health reasons and religious reasons and my own reasons, which I don't have to disclose. I don't wear them. I have the right to be in here. And I explained all the law to them. It's all on video, right? The officers were reading the law.
Yeah.
So I had them understanding that that's the law. These are my rights. So she went back in and she came out with my guitar strings and my receipt. Right, because I had walked out after putting the cash down and left with my guitar strings, right? So when the officers were talking to me, this is all on video. You know, the officer, it's funny, on the video, there was a moment where the officer's like, what, you have the guitar strings? Like she thought it was an opportunity maybe to get me for, you know, theft, right? And I said, yeah, I put my money on the, and I video recorded, putting my money down on the counter. So, and she says, can I have the strings? I said, here, sure. She went in, she came back out with, you know, the receipt for the strings. But she said that the manager wanted to have me trespassed. So when she came back out, you ready for this? I used an extreme example just to make the point. I said, so where in the law can you just trespass somebody willy-nilly? I mean, where is that support in the law? And she read a law that had really no application. It did not support it whatsoever. And I said, look, okay, I'm a white supremacist. I don't like black people. I own a store. A black person comes in. I don't want him here because they're black. I can call you officers to come trespass them. Will you believe the sergeant said, yes.
Really?
I got that on video. I got that on video, except that I'm still waiting. I paid $93 to get the body cam footage, but I'm waiting for it. Because when I was talking to them and I was making the point of federal civil rights and you cannot be violated, you know, your equal rights, you can't. I went through the whole list with them. I said, you can't tell somebody they can't go in because they're black, right? They agree. You can't tell somebody they can't go in because they're old, right? They agree. You can't tell somebody they can't go in for their religious practices, right? You can't tell somebody they can't go in for their health condition. And then they're like, you know, that's what the law says. So they're all befuddled. They don't know what to make of it. And that's why I said this is where the law enforcement officers need training. Mm-hmm. And they all agreed with me on film that if Governor Ron DeSantis did sign such an executive order saying federal civil rights shall be upheld and all law enforcement officers in the state of Florida shall uphold this executive order and federal laws, then they'd have a leg to stand on. Yeah. They could walk in and say, look, you're a place of public accommodation. This individual doesn't wear them. He's entitled to be in here for the same equal access to all the same goods, services, facilities, accommodations, and benefits herein, as the law reads, right? So to the contrary, when she came out, I used that extreme example just to make a point. Yes. You know, if I'm a white supremacist and I don't like black people and I don't want them coming to my store, I can call you police officers to come trespass them? She actually said yes.
Did
that's mind blowing.
Did the Supreme Court uphold some kind of ruling where somebody didn't want to make a cake for a gay couple? Did you follow that one?
That's a good point.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Yeah.
Let's discuss that.
Yeah,
I think the difference would lie in. Because I think, to my recollection, the place said, we have no problem with a gay couple coming in and buying cake from us.
Right.
But you cannot force us to have to go over to a gay party and provide, what's the word, what are they using? Catering, right? Catering to the place.
Oh, they
where they're going over and they're providing they all of the
cater.
Goods.
They didn't want to cater.
Right. I believe that's my recollection of it.
Oh.
It wasn't about them not being able to come into the store. It was about them being required to cater to the event.
And so you're saying they should be not able to do that if they don't want to because of religious?
Yeah, I believe that. I think it's going outside of the scope, right, of saying, I have a store. I'm not going to discriminate from somebody coming over here and getting something. It would be like me saying, okay, I can go into Guitar Center and get strings, but I cannot force them to come over my house with guitars and amplifiers and set everything up for me.
But
in a general sense, it would make sense.
I'm not a Christian, or I don't know anything about the Bible, but I mean, who are we to really interpret for Christians what Jesus would think about two people of the same sex, you know, getting together? I mean, you know, that's not our business, really. I mean, Jesus, we would probably let him say, oh, you guys are good anyway, right?
Well, yeah, again, you said you're a liberal progressive. I mean, a liberal libertarian.
A libertarian.
Well, right?
If I had to
right,
categorize libertarian. I'm mainly Italian, but I'll do libertarian if right. I have to, right? If I'm on a game show.
Right.
Right.
Sure. I think to address that issue, what it comes down to ultimately is, first of all, we can say, I mean, for people that are diehard, that believe in the Bible, you know, that's the word of God, there are scriptural verses outright that just condemn homosexuality. Call it a perversion. Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it's a perversion in the sight of God. It's an abomination. You know, if a man lies with another man as he lies with a woman, he should be stoned to death. I mean, those scriptural verses exist in the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's a condemnation of homosexuality. It does exist. And therefore, it's understandable that somebody who takes wholeheartedly the Bible as their perfect, infallible word of God, that that's what they're going by, that they're going to see it that way.
Yes.
Well, now we could take it even to another level. Let's say they're not that extreme, but they recognize that that's a scriptural concept, that they can still be opposed to it. But you can even take it to the point of somebody that's not religious, right? And they don't hold, you know, to the Bible as their authority. They can, in their own mind, you know, be of a position of, well, you know, I do believe, you know, that, you know, there's man and there's woman and we were created. There's like the square doesn't fit into the circle, right? It's a natural law. So, you know, I'm opposed to it. I don't think it's healthy, but I'm not going to go condemning and judging people that are
right.
Because they are, right? So there's kind of
a healthy way to look at it. Which is a healthy way to look at it.
Sure. No. There are people that are outright, yeah, them damn queers and faggots, they should all be stoned and effing hung. There might be people that feel that way.
I know.
Right? I don't think that that's the right approach.
Right.
I don't think that's the right mentality to have. I think what enables a person to have the healthy point of view is simply to realize that there are people that way. So now the reverse flips in. Those people don't have the right to force their ways onto the mainstream of society either.
Yes.
Because people that do want to raise their family with little Johnny and little Susie, understanding male, female, and having a healthy relationship, should not be subject to the school saying, little Johnny, when you grow up, if you want to marry little Bobby, it's okay. And little Susie, if you want to cut your boobies off and get a sex change, you can. So that kind of, you know, the whole transgenderism, homosexuality, gay marriage thing, I have a very good friend who's gay. And he told me himself, he's older, so he's more of a conservative gay, you might say. But he says, we should have never came out of the closet. That's his opinion. It's a private thing. And I agree with that. It's not for the government to know. And it's not for the media to know or be pushing on people. And that's where we have a problem. Where we have a real big problem is the media, that one-eyed monster. If there's a devil, it's the one-eyed monster called a television set and the people behind it that are pushing their agenda. So we don't need it pushed. And that's where most conservatives have a problem, is seeing that stuff pushed and paraded in the public domain.
Yes, sir. I think the gays made a big mistake by making a big deal out of their sexual preference. Who cares? It's not my business. You know, I mean, you hear people on talk shows call up and they'll call up and they'll say, hey, I'm a gay man or something. Well, I don't call up and say I'm a straight man. You know, it doesn't even make sense. Who cares? And I think they really blew it. But then you take the idea, guys, of, well, what if though if society doesn't let you do things like come in and visit your husband or wife with two girls because you're not family and all that? I mean, didn't we need the Supreme Court to give them the right to do that?
I think rights is one issue. I think that's where the Supreme Court went way wrong, you know, in Obama's administration when they you know, authorized or legalized gay marriage and said, okay, now marriage is for both sexes. Mm-hmm. That was wrong. What they should have said is, what you really want here, I mean, you don't take a term. I don't believe in marriage myself. I think it's a man-made institution. But you don't take an institution, right, that's man-made and that most people believe as a godly institution, a biblical institution. You don't take the hundreds of millions of religious people who view marriage as a sacred act between a man and a woman, and then what the Supreme Court did was they spit on all those hundreds of millions of people's faces and did this to them and said, now anybody can get married. That was wrong. What they should have done is, what you gay community people really are looking for are your rights, right? You want the access to the same kind of, you know, relationship, you know, insurance and having the same kind of benefits that a married couple might have.
Right.
So great, we'll grant you that you have those rights, but it's not marriage. Marriage is forever and ever, a man and woman matrimony. You can have a civil union. So you have that. It's a way. There's people that disagree with that as well, but you can't please everybody all the time. That would have been the right way to say, look, for this community, no, we're not going to spit on the faces of the hundreds of millions of Catholics and Christians and devout, you know, Muslims and Jews and everybody else who believe in God Almighty and man and woman, and spit on their faces and say, okay, now marriage is for a man or a woman, or a woman and a dog, or a man and a porpoise, right, or whatever. It's going to be maintain what it is, but you're looking for rights. So we're giving you your rights under law for the things that you desire to be able to have.
Yeah,
they could have did that and just called it a civil union.
Well, you guys probably know, but I've had constitutional people on and tell me, and this is what gets really crazy, is the Supreme Court has no business involved in about 95% of the stuff that they're involved in. They just have no business. They're just making
That's
up
true.
As they go. You know, it's just
That's true.
Even Roe v. Wade. You know, I've had constitutional people tell me, some pretty smart ones, the only thing Roe v. Wade affected was Roe and Wade. That's it. This whole idea of precedent is just nonsense. People, they just make it up as they go, guys. They, you know, whatever's floating their boat.
You're bringing up some deep points because Brian and I did an interview with Hannah Maria, if you've seen her, beautiful woman over in the islands in Spain, and, you know, like a goddess, you know, speaking out against, you know, the face diapers and the vaccines and everything. And, you know, she's a patriot trooper herself. But when we were talking to her, because, again, you can't please everybody all the time. You know, we were having a conversation and we didn't go down the road, but she kind of opened the door for the road of, you know, that issue. And I'm starting to lose my frame of mind right now, my
about,
reference.
What abortion, was it? Abortion?
Right. Right. So about law, basically about government, right? There are some people that will take a very, you know, how should I say it? Yeah, libertarian approach or no government. We don't need government. Actually, technically, our government is supposed to be a government of the people, by the people, for the people. It's like the people governing themselves. So that kind of a government is what it's supposed to be, yeah. And it would work, and it does need to be there. But the government's been hijacked. And we can get into a whole conversation here about who hijacked the government. All right? You just wave the flag if you want me to, but I'll stay off that for now, okay?
Yeah.
But our government has been hijacked literally by a communist group of individuals. I won't name them right now. We'll save it for another conversation maybe. But our government has been hijacked and taken over. So we don't have a government of the people, by the people, for the people. We have a government of the corporations, by the corporations, for the corporations and the tech companies. And that's the problem. That's who we're at war against. Now, to the extent that we do need, you know, like my dad, he raised me out here in the Everglades. He's a woodsman, right? Out in the Everglades, going out there since I was a child. Back in the 70s, it was a different situation, right? Going out there, you know, just a few people on swamp buggies. But if every day you got more and more hundreds of people, thousands of people, and they all got their four-wheelers, and all of a sudden they all want to go out there, and they're eating their Snickers bars and drinking their beer and throwing the cans in the woods and tearing down the trees and making a mess of the place, that's what the people would do. The people will destroy the Florida Everglades. So there does need to be some kind of regulations, right, on let's protect this, right? Let's keep it from being destroyed because people are animals. Many of them, a great majority, unfortunately, you know, the people just don't have a lot of sense, man. They trash things, you know. I just got to say it like it is. There's this term called third world mentality, all right? People in different countries have different customs. And when all of a sudden you start letting them infiltrate here into Miami, Florida has been completely transformed into something entirely different than what it was when my dad was growing up in the 50s and 60s.
I bet so.
Where everybody, yeah, and tragically so, not in a good way. I can go to parking lots and see trash all over the place that I never saw that growing up as a child.
Is that right?
And when I went to Venezuela with my wife, Venezuela is an incredibly beautiful country, and yet the people there, they literally have mountainsides covered with trash. Rivers with tires and trash going in it. So, you know, they have no sense of how to deal with their social issues or cultural issues in the same way. It's going to vary from culture to culture, from nation to nation. People are different. So as a result, Miami, Florida has become very third world. It's become trashed in many ways. But I'm kind of getting a little off
subject.
That's all right.
Many people that are arguing that the people controlling this administration and controlled a lot of administrations other than Trump, he seemed to be able to keep them at bay for a while, want to turn this country into a third world country. And if you look at what's happening in the monetary system with the Biden administration borrowing, $5-7 trillion from the Fed that creates it on a Dell computer. It's a good computer, but it's just a Dell. Then we have to pay the interest on that and open borders. And these people want a third world country, don't they? I mean, this is what they're going for. This is what they're going for.
And I'm sorry you just opened the door. So this is the perfect opportunity. I have no choice.
Okay, this
is the point where I will plug the documentary Europa, The Last Battle. It's a 12-hour documentary it's a 180-degree flip on what we understand about our history, going back into the 1800s. Mm-hmm. World War One, World War II, who was behind it? Why were they behind it? Most people don't know that the Rothschilds, we've all heard of the Rothschilds, right? Oh, the Rothschilds family. The Rothschilds family has funded every single war since the Napoleonic Wars of 1803 to 1815, both sides.
Including the Civil War.
And they take money away from the side they want to lose? That's right.
Yeah.
They fund the wars. You're a libertarian. You're opposed to war. I'm a conservative. I'm opposed to war. Most liberals are opposed to war. We don't want war. The people that are behind it, they call themselves, they refer to themselves as Zionists, Zionist Jews. That's who they are. The Rothschilds are Zionist Jews. They funded every war. What's his name? George Soros, that we all know is the man. He's a Jewish Zionist Jew who has funded mass immigrations throughout Europe and into the United States from Central America. It's part of their plan to destroy nations and destroy races and to ultimately just mix all of the world into one mesh, one homogenous mass of people that they can rule over, who they call Goyim, and they will be the gods. Now, I always point out, this isn't about the Jews. See, they have this little defense that they've created. If you mention a Jew, oh, you're an anti-Semite. Oh, you're a Jew hater. Right. No, my best friends are Jewish. My neighbor's Jewish. He comes over my house literally three or four nights a week to eat dinner with us and watch movies. I don't hate Jews. One of my best friends who was a drummer in high school who I love and adore and I always want to be able to jam with him is Jewish. It's not about the Jewish people. It's about a select group of upper echelon Jews who in the 1800s decided that they're the shit. We're going to rule the world. We Jews have all the answers. We're smarter than everybody else. So we're going to use our money by funding governments. They've literally funded governments and nations around the world. They're the same people who have funded the coronavirus global pandemic. They pay nations to go along. They give them billions of dollars to lock down. It's the Zionist Jew society of upper echelon elites who also are in bed with the tech giants. They all own all the same companies. They own the media. They own the vast majority of media. But anyway, the documentary, I put it as the top video on our videos page, Europa, the Last Battle. Let me just tell you something about that real quick. Brian and I had a firefighter contact us a few months ago to help, you know, him articulate a letter because he's no longer going to wear a face diaper at work, right? He told me when we were on the phone, hey, Mike, I watched that documentary and it was mind-bending. Those are the words he used. Yeah. Here's a better example. I have a very good supporter, a very strong supporter. He's on my phone as a general. I did a Zoom meeting with him recently. And he's a strong supporter. He's in Oregon right now. He's planning on moving to Florida. He's been telling me for a couple of months, Mike, man, you know, you're doing such a great thing with the big virus hoax, man. You gotta, you know, lay off, you know, this thing about, you know, World War II, World War I, the Zionist Jews. I mean, you don't want to upset the apple cart. And I'm like, it's truth. I gotta get the truth out, and I gotta let people know what's behind it all. Who's behind it all? Why has our government been infiltrated? Why are they manipulating and controlling people the way they are? Who's behind it? Who's funding it? It has to be stated. Well, he just told me Friday. I just told this to Brian the other day. Friday, he called me and told me the same thing again. He says, man, I don't know, Mike. I just, you know, that I don't know. And I said, well, I told you, you got to watch it. He said, it's 12 hours. That's too long, man. I don't have time for that. I'm busy. My house, my wife, my kids, my job. I don't have time. And then he hung up. He called me back 5 minutes later. Something hit him in the head. And he said, I'm going to watch it, Mike. 2 days later on Sunday, he sent me I should read you the text. He sent me a text and he left me a voice message. Excuse my French. He said, you fucker. Now I have to be a lunatic like you.
Like you got to be.
You're
a
right.
Well,
he says, you're right. He completely, after watching that 12-hour documentary, became like, damn. It will flip your world upside down. We've been lied to. We've been lied to about history. We've been lied to about how and why the wars occurred and who was behind them and who was funding them and what was transpiring. And the fact that the United States of America was siding with Germany, who was fighting against communists. Russia, the Jewish Bolshevik communist regime, that was Russia. They were communists. And they were taking over Poland and Europe and Germany. Germany was fighting against them and the United States. And this can all be verified, factual,
no,
in the history books.
Yeah.
that the United States was supporting Germany, and the Zionist Jews literally paid money to turn the United States to go against.
We've talked to
the history is completely the opposite.
We've talked to a lot of historians,
and it can be determined
over the years, Michael and Brian, that are confirming what you're saying. A lot of deep historians, Matthew Arrett in the UK is on once a month or so, and he's all over it, and it's all true. I mean, Richard Mayberry, his books, World War One, World War Two, you know, the whole thing was a scam. You know, they knew about Pearl Harbor.
Yep.
And Americans, we just have no clue about what you've just said. You know, we just have.
That's true.
But the truth will set you free, brother. You know, I mean.
The truth will set you free. That's right.
And Mike is so committed to this. He actually wrote a book, I believe, didn't you, Mike? About that.
Yeah, that's a. Thanks for bringing it up. I wrote a book. Let me grab it real quick. Sure. Just I'll show it. I'll be right back.
Mike Singer and Brian Root are here, and it is thebigvirushoax.com. What kind of things will people see on the Big Virus Hoax, Brian?
Well, we have a whole lot of stuff. We've got stuff about the vaccines and about ways to push back against the face mask, and we have a page on the Great AIDS Hoax. This all started back in the 80s, as you know, with Dr. Fauci was behind all that AIDS fake stuff. So we've got all that information on there also.
And applause to Brian on that, man, because Brian took the time to copy every single page in that book. And do you know that the book, The Great AIDS Hoax by Dr. T.C. Frye, when Brian was looking for it online, yeah. I think the cheapest he found it was $500. Maybe we saw it for $289. That's how they try to keep the truth away from people. So Brian took the time to get every single page condensed into PDF format, and we got it uploaded onto the site for free. So if anybody wants to read The Great AIDS Hoax, they can read it for free on our website on the AIDS page. So this is the book that I wrote. And it probably wouldn't surprise you that I had, you know, several people when I market it on social media call me a racist, right? You racist, right? Left versus white. Well, actually, to the contrary, this is a book. The reason is I could have called the book Left versus Right because it's basically the leftists. But to the extent that it's widely understood that the media, again, which is owned and controlled by the Zionist Jews, they own all the media, and they're pushing this narrative. Essentially, if you're white and you believe in God and you believe in traditional family values, you're a racist, bigoted, intolerant, hateful, white supremacist, seditionist, Trump supporter, seditionist. So they're putting white man into that category. So it's valid to say there's a leftist movement against the white man, right? Now, beyond that, going back to the Zionist Jews, in their own words, we will destroy the Caucasian white race.
Is that right?
Race.
Really?
That's correct.
Good for them.
There's a book I'll throw out. I plugged the documentary. Everybody has to see it. Europa, the Last Battle. It's also, I created a website called Race Federation. racefederation.org, which is for the promotion and glorification of the races. Here, let me address that quickly. I believe we're here by creative design. I believe in God Almighty. We're here by creative design. And therefore, I believe that God created all the unique, beautiful, different races and the diversity of humanity. And therefore, I believe that all of those unique, beautiful races and nations are entitled to equal human rights that God endowed upon them all. And I believe that they're all unique and they all contribute in their own unique, special way, very beautiful things to life as we know it. That's what's being destroyed. That's what they set out to destroy. We're going to destroy all nations and all races and all peoples, merge them all together and create a homogenous race of Goyim that we will rule over. So I tell people all the time, I can say I redefined the word racism, but not really. The media-driven concept of racism is divisive and hateful. I say
split
I'm a racist
up, right? Split
because I believe that God created the races. I believe the races are beautiful and unique. I believe the races should be preserved and protected because they're unique and beautiful. That's being a racist in a pure sense, not a hateful sense. Now, are there people who may, you know, intermingle and intermarry? Of course, it's going to happen. But there's a difference between that. I was just talking to another great warrior woman here in Florida who has her own show, and I wish I could plug it for her. I just don't have it memorized off the top of my head. But her husband, I was on the phone with her, and she said, here, talk to my husband. He's half black, half white. He told me, I totally agree with you, that the left media is pushing. It's like a weapon. They're trying to create this multiracial amalgamation, intentional. It's like a weapon. They're using it to water down the white race, water down all races into one. So it's in that regard that the left is attacking not only the white race because they're trying to water them down. And as I allude to in the book, which is alluded to in the documentary, nearly 100 million Caucasian white people, Poles, French, German, you know, Americans were killed just between World War I and World War II. Nearly 100 million killed worldwide through all the wars. And that was the primary people behind the wars. I mean, if you look at a World War II photo, sure, there was, you know, the black brigades and there were other people, but 90% was Caucasian white people that were fighting the wars, pitting them against each other. You know, having Germans killing, you know, actually the Italians were working with the Germans, you know, but the Russians and the Poles and, you know, all these different Caucasian white groups fighting and killing each other off in the tens of millions, right? And now they have this media-driven push where every time you see a commercial, there, you know, it's a strong, good-looking black man with some white guy who looks like a goofball and a nerd or an idiot or he's fumbling around. They've always got the black man with the white woman. It's being pushed. In the movies, they do it. In the TV commercials, they do it. On the television shows, they do it.
As you know, Michael, every media outlet, NPR, BBC, they're the worst. They're doing everything they can to separate white and black. You know, they're very, you know, racist. I mean, I listen to NPR sometimes just driving to see what they're up to, and it's hard for them to even do a story where they're not trying to separate men and women and white and black and and Hispanic. And it's crazy. You know, these people are lunatics, you know, in Hollywood.
They are.
Right? You know, we got to have more black directors. We got to have more, you know, all the movies now, they're all about, you know, but these black movies are never, you know, these people with black stars, I'm a screenwriter, so I watch them. I only watch 5 minutes of them. They're not about stories about people who just happen to be black. They're all about stories about being black. You know, it's like how often, and that's what these stories are about, you know, and they're so boring because who cares? You know, they're the ones making a big deal out of the black skin, not us. These people are,
that's right.
These people are lunatics, you know, they just want
to
separate.
Yeah, and they're trying to water down
everything.
The culture and heritage.
That's right, everything.
Of everything.
Everything.
And that's ultimately what I believe that humanity needs to come back to that recognition of that recognition that that we are here by creative design of a great force, right? Nobody knows exactly who or what God is. And granted, there'll be different religious takes and different people having their views, but those views should be respected, right?
Sure.
At least the people that are religious or Christian have intent to be good, to be righteous, to be right. You know, they're sorry for their sins or their wrongdoing. They want to do what's right. That's a good thing, right? So if people can come back to bringing the notion or the concept that there's a great force, a great source, a creator, God, that we can acknowledge and give thanks to for our life and for the diversity and the beauty of life and allow nations to thrive individually with their unique cultures and heritages. That's what it should be. That's what God created. But again, the Zionist Jews are hell-bent on ruling the world. They're going to own all. So they're going to water everything down, get rid of the diversity. They call it diversity. They say we're being diverse by forcing multiculturalism. It's a psyop because to the contrary, they're destroying races and cultures.
Of course it is. Yeah, of course it is. Well, you're a ball of fire there, guy. I tell you what. I don't know. It's hard to keep you on a short leash, and I didn't want to. I really enjoyed having you guys on. Oh, before we go, wanted to get your take. We're going to get him on the show soon, Mike Lindell. What do you think about the computer stuff that he's got? It looks pretty forensic, very interesting to me. Like, they can prove that somebody, I don't know if they were Chinese, maybe they were just people, maybe they, you know, I think, well, whatever. But what do you think about that? I mean, we know the election was stolen. Do you think this is ever going to come out in the wash, the election?
I'm not too positive on it. I think they're controlling everything, and they just don't want it to come out. So I don't know.
I don't understand why Trump isn't all over this Lindell computer stuff. I mean, we ran a video called 9-0. Did you see that one? And it's pretty cool. And he has these geeks there that went through it for months and months and months, and they can prove that in real time there were IP places from China that were flipping votes, and they can see exactly how many, and you can't duplicate these little blips that they saw in real time. You just can't make them up, according to these super white hat geeks, you know, that looked at it.
The election was rigged.
We know that.
It was rigged. Yeah. There's no question. But can you read what that says on chapter 6?
I can't see it. Go ahead and just read it.
Chapter 6.
What's it say?
No, I can't see the numbers.
Political hijacking, numbers. Trump... Political hijacking, Trump deception, and Q PSYOP. I was the greatest Trump supporter on planet Earth. That's a fact. Because before he ran, after Obama, honestly, I was never going to vote again, ever. I wasn't. I was done. After the Bushes, the Clintons, Obama, I'm done. That was true. I was never going to vote. Mm-hmm. So when Trump decided he was going to run, I was like, wow. I mean, this guy's a cool guy. Nobody had anything against him at that time. Cool billionaire. He can't be bought out. He's a billionaire. They can't bribe him like they did everybody else. I thought it was great. I wrote a song called Trump Train, which YouTube took my channel down, so it's not there anymore. But it was a great song. It's actually still up. You can find it on YouTube. I wrote this awesome-ass kind of progressive rock tune. Many people saying you should be jamming at rallies because it was a really cool song. And I was his greatest supporter. So when Brian and I did the BigVirusHoax.com, we were pushing, I can't tell you how many hundreds, thousands of links that we emailed the president, that we tweeted to him, that we put on his Facebook wall, that we responded to his tweets with, constantly flooding President Donald J. Trump with links to our website so that he could have a shot at saying, hey, man, there's people like Dr. Andrew Kaufman out there, people like Tom Cohen out there, people like, you know, Tom Barnett out there, people like, I mean, we could go on and on and on with all the great names of the scientists, doctors, and health practitioners who know this is all BS. So we were hoping he would. And we really believed he would. He has to. It's Donald J. Trump. He's trying to make America great again. He's against the corruption. He's trying to clean up the swamp. This is obviously a hoax. So as he started pushing vaccines, Brian and I became very leery and concerned about Donald J. Trump. Right. What's going on here? Matt, he's pushing these deadly vaccines.
I'm with you too.
Well, yeah. There's a few factors about Trump that these are just facts. I'm not, as his former greatest supporter, I'm just saying, for whatever it's worth, the Roman Catholic Vatican papacy is a great power in this world. There's a whole history to it. I won't get into it. I'm sure you know about it.
We know.
They ruled the world supremely. Well, the very highest people in the Catholic Vatican are what are called Jesuits, right?
Yes, sir.
We have the Pope. We have the bishops. The Jesuits are up there. Donald J. Trump went to a Jesuit university, and he appointed 3 Supreme Court justices to the United States of America who are all Catholic Jesuits. Call that a coincidence. Okay. We have the Zionist Jews, and we know what their plans are. Donald J. Trump filled his cabinet with Zionist Jews. He appointed a Zionist Jew to head the Fed. So make what you want out of that. Was it his possible mission to get in and be a rallier, to pull all true Americans and patriots out of the woodwork so they could be identified, seen for their numbers and their power, and exposed and now labeled as white supremacists and seditionists? Wow. Was that his mission?
I don't like the sound of that.
I know you don't. And no Trump supporter that hears this is going to like it. I don't like it. I was his greatest supporter. I wrote the first song that was ever called.
Oh, I know. But you, so do you really think that that's... Yeah, but you have no... This is just your theory on that. I mean, we have no real evidence, right?
Right. I'm not... No, what I'm saying is he either knows nothing at all about Jesuits and the Catholic history.
Or the vaccines.
And he knows nothing at all about the Zionists and their world plans. And kind of, you know, just was in the mix and meant well, and they threatened his life, and that's why he's out. Right. I mean, that's a possibility.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
So, I mean, I'm just throwing out facts. And so it becomes, there's another component. He did have the legal authority as the president to halt the election based upon foreign interference on rigged voting machines and didn't do it.
He did.
So that's another spike, you know, of ouch.
And I never, there's Michael, too, I never really got this whole vaccine thing. I can't imagine that he was that in the dark on the dangers of these things. But, how could he stand there and listen to Fauci and really think that this guy knew what the hell he was talking about? He kind of lost me there. It was starting, he's really kind of lost me, too. So where does that put us, guys? Before we go, I mean, we got to end on some kind of positive note here, because if we lose the whole thing, I mean, you know, they're not going to fix the voting thing, right? So, you know, they got 200 million people, whatever, coming in across the border. So, you know, Sleepy Joe will win again, or Kami Kamala. I mean, we're going to have to do something. Otherwise, the whole thing's just going to go down the drain.
You're right. True American patriots need to find a way to communicate, organize, and unite, and have action plans to take back America. It's that simple. Mm, mm. How to make that happen.
Yeah.
I've got ideas on how to make that happen.
I bet you do.
I could make that happen.
I bet you
but
do.
But I'm a nobody, right?
No, you're a somebody, man. You're a great communicator. You're a somebody. And, you know, this might look kind of dark and dreary right now, but who knows a year from now? I mean, how many... Maybe there's 50 million people walking in the streets talking about this stuff. I mean, we don't know, right? People, maybe there's 100 million patriots and libertarian types, conservative, more conservative, who know how weird this socialist agenda, globalist thing, you know, is, and they're going to wake up and say, you know what? We got to do something. I mean, anything's possible, right? Anything's possible.
That's right. They need to wake up. I mean, the only other possibility, I mean, is, you know, there's different schools of thought from the biblical Christian perspective of rapture. And, you know, the Bible says that there are some that are going to be taken away in the twinkling of an eye. They're going to put on incorruption. The corrupt shall put on incorruption. Their bodies will be changed and given glorious bodies without even seeing death. The Bible says that. So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I'm not saying I'm that person. I mean, I'll say God can destroy me and turn me into ashes before I live in eternity with either a tyrannical God or a tyrannical government on earth. I'm just going to fight against tyranny. I don't care where it's coming from. I don't agree with it. So it needs to be true American patriots, conservatives, Christians, people with values, traditional family values, people that believe in true rights. And the Constitution, they're true constitutionalists, they truly believe in the Republic, true Americans, true patriots, most of whom are conservatives and Christians, need to find a way to organize, communicate, have action plans.
Maybe Florida, Texas, and Oklahoma, and some other places, South Dakota, maybe this is the fertile ground where we could just separate from those crazies and just let them have California and Oregon and Washington and, you know, who let them have it.
But the problem with that is once these corrupt powers that be have their way, going back to the point I was going to make earlier with Hannah Maria saying we don't need government, you know, and even the great Amanda Vollmer, hey, you know, you guys go have your big cities and your 5Gs. Well, you know, just leave us alone. We'll go over here and have our own little territory and have our own little night's life. It won't work that way. What's going to happen is like in the movie. What was the movie with the girl with the bow?
I don't know.
It was a stupid movie. I didn't see the sequel.
Stupid movie. I don't know.
I saw the first one. Brian and I went to see it. The Hunting Games.
Oh, the Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games, right? You know, at the beginning, what do? They're all in their little villages, and they come flying over with their little hovercrafts, and they drop down and take whoever they want, right? So the corruption needs to be ended. Look, short of Jesus Christ coming back in glory, which is what many people believe and hope is going to be, I mean, I'm the first to say, in my opinion, he's late, because in my opinion, this world is far gone. It's in a far worse condition than most people realize. So short of Jesus Christ coming back and doing away with it all, the people need to take action. They need to find a way to communicate, organize, have action plans, and take action. And I can use the example of January 6th. That itself was a coup. That was a rigged situation. We know that. We know that there were people in the front breaking windows and trying to make it look like Trump supporters were the bad guys. It was a put on to try to get Trump supporters in trouble. If that had been an organized January 6th, if the president, who's the commander of chief in the United States military, had said, okay, I need 2 million true Americans to peacefully come here with your guns, because under the United States Constitution, you're allowed to. So come for a peaceful protest, surround the Capitol. This is what I'm asking you to do as your commander in chief. This is a man who said on national television multiple times, these people are sick. These people are evil. These people are rigging the election. These people are stealing the election. If that man's going to say that, and he's the commander in chief, then he should have ordered true American patriots to be there armed with a legal paper that said, Nancy Pelosi is a traitor, and here's why. Chuck Schumer is a traitor, and here's why. We have our paper. We have our basis. We have our position. We're all here. We got megaphones. We got radios. We're communicating with that. Hold the line. Nobody's doing nothing. Let's wait for Mike Pence to do the right thing. He didn't do the right thing. We now demand that he come out into our custody. She come out into custody. We go down the list. All these people, bring him out.
I understand.
That would have been an organized effort.
I understand what you're saying. Well, you know, I have a great deal of respect for Christians. God love them and Jesus, and I don't want to be disrespectful. But in my opinion, just my opinion, if we could interview Jesus right here, I think he would say, I ain't coming back. You guys, you can do everything he said in the Bible. You can do everything that I can do and even better. And I think that we are soul, we are spiritual beings, and we are going to be the ones for us to wait around for anybody to come and save us. Trump,
that's right.
Jesus, Buddha, I don't
that's
care.
Right.
Ain't going to happen, in my opinion. I may be wrong, and I'd be the first one to say I was wrong, but, you know, I'd bet the farm if I had a farm on that one. We're here to wake up and be our spiritual, strong selves, right? This is what we're here for. So nobody's going to save us. Nobody's going to save us. Just
that's
doing
right.
What you guys are doing, you know. Doing what I'm doing,
although,
other people too, I think.
Right.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Well,
you just hit the nail on the head, man.
I got lucky.
We didn't get
sometime.
To talk about it.
Well, we'll have you. We'll have you back. You're just so much fun to talk to. I really enjoyed the conversation. We'll have you back. And the bigvirushoax.com. You know, I'm kind of thinking I'm kind of thinking like there's actually people that think like the earth is flat. And I'm actually thinking I'm going to have this flat earth dude down just to have the conversation. I mean, I've seen the pictures of the round earth. Maybe it is flat. But I think that this whole virus thing is as big as that. You know, they used to think the earth was flat. And who was it, Galileo, Mike and Brian, or somebody figured out that it was round or said it was round. And it was a big deal to make that switch. This virus thing is a big deal. And we got to get over it, as Cowan and Kaufman say. Then we could start talking about what's really killing people, which is just poisons and toxins and stinking thinking.
That's right.
Right? We know that.
That's right.
We know it. We can. You worry enough and you can get everybody cancer. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. You know, we're very powerful.
That's right.
And if we don't trust God and believe that our bodies are strong and worry about anything, you're going to get sick. It's just going to get sick.
That's right.
And, you know.
You hit the nail on the head again. You know, people get sick from the crap, the chemicals, the toxins, the poisons that they consume daily through the smoke, the air, the foods they eat, the beer, the wine, the drink, the drugs, constantly polluting their bodies. And it eventually builds up and it has to purge. And when you just keep putting it in, you're killing yourselves. People die every year, right, of the regular so-called flu, and the so-called flu is not a virus. It's not a bug.
It's a detoxification.
It's the buildup of toxins, and that in itself kills people. So what the concept of a virus ultimately is a scapegoat for the chemical companies. It's a way for them to have an excuse so they can keep poisoning people with all their toxins and crap and say, oh, you're sick because of an invisible enemy.
And that's why Cowan and Kaufman and Bomer and Patrick and you guys and everybody else in LACA aren't on YouTube or out on Twitter and Facebook. You know, I'm in Facebook jail all the time for 30 days because you talk about this stuff and man, they're right there, man, they're right there. But you know what? Hey, tomorrow's another day. Guys, thanks so much.
That's right.
I love you both. Thank you for coming.
Just a final plug again for the bigvirushoax.com. Please go there. And the plug on the book, I didn't plug it, would be at amazingbookpress.com. Amazingbookpress.com. You can get an autographed copy. I've had a few people this week ordered it, and I signed it for them and sent it out. So if you want to do that.
So put it on the camera again so we can see the name of it on the camera.
Yeah, quick, move it over. Quick short read.
Move it back. Move it back. Left versus white. Left versus something. We're close.
Left versus white. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The war against racial integrity and morality. Thanks for having us on. I appreciate it. You're awesome.
It's been a pleasure. Really great. Thanks, really fun. You guys take care of yourself. Stay out of trouble now.
Oh, that's no fun.
And if you come to the great state of Texas, you come on by and we'll have a coffee.
Looking forward to doing that.
See you, sir. Bye-bye. Bye, Brian.
All right, see you.
Bye. Bye there. OneRadioNetwork.com, Patrick Timpone. Wow, what great fun, huh? They were fun to talk to. Well, we are going to take a little break here, and we'll see you tomorrow with Fred Jastrzewski in the Real World of Money. And there's some pretty wild things going on. And also Jet Black, who is going to talk about these kinds of things and other stuff happening tomorrow. It all gets underway at 10 o'clock Central Time. I love you all very much. Thanks for your ongoing support. When you feel the nudge to buy some products for your health and your wealth and your well-being, we encourage you to take a look at all the different people that we promote and support. Good stuff. We have some good people and people that we know and we trust and we love. And, you know, doesn't get much better than that. So I love you guys. Thank you. And may the blessings be. Take care of yourself.
We are listener supported. One Radio Network.